probably most all of us at some time or another have heard the phrase chain of salvation. The idea being that there are links in that chain that are essential to that chain being useful and that chain being possible, in fact. So we want to use that image, or maybe this is just one of those things you hear in Texas and Mississippi and don't hear in Arkansas, I don't know. But we're going to use that image this evening as we talk about some things regarding salvation, because we recognize and acknowledge that salvation is of God. And so whenever we talk about anything in regards to salvation, we need to recognize it is from God. It is God's chain or God's plan of salvation. If you would, get your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul talks about some things that I think can be seen as links in this chain that allows us to be saved and allows others to be saved. And while they're not going to be anything new or that you've never heard before, I hope that there are some things that we point out this evening that will emphasize a couple of things to us that maybe we don't always keep in mind as we're considering these things. We're going to begin reading actually in verse 11. We're going to begin in verse 11 with our reading to get some context as we begin this evening. And Paul says there, beginning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest to God, and I hope that you are made manifest also in your consciences. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you, for the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Now, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, to be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." I think one of the things that we need to point out as we start talking about this idea of what God has set in motion to save man, whether we call it a chain of salvation or a plan of salvation or whatever, we need to recognize that the reason that God has set this in place is because man went away from God. We pointed out this morning, God didn't change, man did. In fact, we made reference to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2, where the prophet Isaiah tells the Israelites that their iniquities had separated between them and their God. And it was because of this separation from the very beginning of time that this plan, this method and such of God has been put into place so that man could be reconciled to God, brought back to God. It was made necessary because of our disobedience as men. Because mankind turned to his own ways, there needed to be a way for us to come back to God. And when we start talking about this plan of God, this chain of salvation, if you want to use the links metaphor as we're looking at this evening, we need to recognize that the author is God. Now, the reason the author is God is because man couldn't do it on his own. Man was not capable. It was not possible that man could direct himself in such a way that he could come back to God of his own accord. It would take our very life in order for us to set things right with God. And we could not do that and serve Him as He would have us to do. We could not live a perfect life that would be sufficient sacrifice. So the plan, the method, the things that happened in order to reconcile us to God had to come from God. And He is the author of our plan of salvation. All things are of God. He is the one who gave the plan so that man might be able to restore himself to a position of friendship, or at least in a relationship with God. I hesitate to use the term friendship. We get the wrong idea that way sometimes, but to have a relationship with God. We read in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." We emphasize that inherit the kingdom, that the righteous are going to inherit the kingdom, but recognize Jesus said, you're inheriting the kingdom because of the blessings you receive from my Father. Without turning over there and reading from 2 Peter chapter 1, we made reference to this morning in Bible class. It is because God gave us the blessings that we can have the faith that allows us to put our trust and hope in God and to serve Him and to grow and to increase, as we're going to see as we go through that book Peter is encouraging us to do. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be blameless or holy and blameless before Him. And I know in the context and in talking to folks in the world, sometimes they get the wrong idea with that idea of God chose us from the foundations. But we recognize it, and we're talking about in this context, as Paul talks about there in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God is the author, and it was from His plan that it was determined how we could come back to Him. And it was determined from the very beginning of time, the plan that would allow us to return to God is from God, even though it was our sin that caused the problem. It was our straying that put us in a position that we needed something. It was God that provided us with the means to return. That's why Jesus could say in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That's the one that's going to enter. The one that will submit themselves to the Father's plan. So when we talk about this idea of salvation and we consider this plan, let's recognize, no matter what metaphor we may be using in talking about it, it begins with God. And another link in this chain of salvation is the agent of salvation, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior. God sent His Son. He designated that His Son would be the one. Remember back there in verse 19 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. God in Christ, or through Christ, brought the world back to Himself, made it possible for us to come back through the death of His Son. That reconciling was not something that could be done very easily. It's not just a wave of the hand and it's over with. That wouldn't be just and right. There had to be a price paid for the sin that man committed. And the only one that could pay that price was Jesus Christ the Son, who lived a perfect life here on this earth. The innocent for the guilty. The just for the unjust. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, we read, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled by God, or to God, by the death of His Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. Jesus is the agent of salvation. And just like in a chain, if that link is missing, there is no salvation. Without the agent, without Christ dying on the cross, We have nothing. It's essential that there be one that would sacrifice himself, and it had to be one that could sacrifice a perfect sacrifice so that we could be reconciled to God. The next thing that the Apostle Paul talks about and we want to consider in regards to this is there are ambassadors in this chain of salvation. They are those who go out by the direction of, those who go out as instructors from. In particular, verse 18 and 19, as the Apostle Paul is writing here, when he says, we are ambassadors, because of the wording here, we recognize he's talking about those who had been teaching the Corinthian brethren. He says, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We're here in God's stead. God did not remain on the earth to continue to spread this gospel in a physical sense. He left it with his ambassadors and said, you go in my place and speak to the world about this reconciliation, about this death, this sacrifice that was made so that mankind can come back to God. But, you know, I say many times, I wonder sometimes about why I preach some of the lessons I preach. Here's one of the main points, and we'll talk about this a little more if we look at some of the other points too. Here's one of the reasons this lesson is being presented to those of us who are children of God. You don't need to know where salvation comes from. You know that God is the author of salvation. You know Christ is the agent. But let's make sure we don't forget that we are also the ambassadors. Those apostles that were given direct instruction through the Holy Spirit, those inspired men, and those who heard the message of Jesus Christ were told, go and teach others the same things that I taught you so that they can teach others. That's what Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20 tell us. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus said, you go out and you make disciples, and then you teach those disciples that they need to go out and make disciples. You teach them to do what I've told you to do. That makes us ambassadors too. Not in the same special sense that the apostles were, but still, we are the ones who speak for Christ on earth today. We'll look in a moment. There's some restrictions on how we speak for Christ, just as there were with the apostles. Paul told the young man Timothy, he said, you take the things that you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses and entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. If you don't get the point from the Great Commission that the apostles are supposed to teach us to be ambassadors, surely you get it from what Paul told Timothy. Paul didn't tell Timothy, you go out and train other men so that they can become preachers like you. He said, you go teach them the things that you have learned so they can teach others the things that they have learned, so that they can teach others the things that they have learned, so that they can teach others. You see how it rolls down through the centuries. We are ambassadors. You ever had a chain with a weak link? I know every one of you probably have. Usually it fails when you need it the most, doesn't it? Folks, if we're one of the links in the chain that helps men to know about the reconciliation that comes through Jesus, how strong is that chain? Where is the breakdown if there are those that we have access to that don't know the Word of God, don't have the opportunity to know the reconciliation that comes through Jesus Christ? We're a part of God's plan for man. And I I think we need to remind ourselves of that. We need to acknowledge that. We need to make sure that we use that in directing our lives. And we want to make note, and the Apostle Paul at least alludes to this in verse 19 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when he says that he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And maybe it's a little bit of a stretch to take that just single word there and say that it's talking about the fact that the message was written down so it could be preserved for the ages. But I think there's sufficient scripture that teaches us that we can support that idea, that a part of the plan of God, it wasn't just that it was going to be passed down by word of mouth. It was going to be preserved. Those men who were inspired of God were instructed to write those words. And as such, we have an archive of the message of reconciliation. We have the written word. Now, it began with Jesus, who is literally the word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14 of 1 John 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It is through Jesus Christ, the Word who was made flesh, that we know the way of reconciliation. Jesus Christ, the truth. But over in John chapter 16 and verse 13, there we're told, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come." There's several other verses there in that part of John, John 14, 15, and 16, and we'll be studying them in our Wednesday night Bible class as we continue to go through that final week of Christ. But the point that is made in this passage and several others throughout there is, apostles, not only have you heard the word of Christ, but when I leave and go back to the Father will send one that will direct you in all things that are true, so that you will not be lacking in any knowledge regarding this plan of salvation, this means of reconciling man back to God. And those things were recorded. These things were written down. That's why we have the books of the New Testament, the Gospels and the histories of the beginning of the church, and the various epistles that were written to the churches and to the individuals. Those who were inspired by the Holy Spirit and given the words to proclaim to God wrote those words and instructions down. And we can go back to those words today. And this goes back to what we were talking about a moment ago. We're ambassadors for Christ. We speak for Christ today to the world. But we have to make sure that we're speaking from the word that was delivered. We're spokesmen for God. We're not the special witnesses that the apostles were. We don't even have the abilities that any of the inspired men, those who had the special spiritual gifts, but we have the Word, and we're given teaching from those who were ambassadors, that we're to take that Word and talk to other people about it. You know, there's a lot of information archived across this world. There's libraries full of books. I've read a few things about some folks that have found some rooms in libraries that nobody's been in for decades. You know what? All that information that's in there has been of absolutely no use while it was in there. The only time that information can be of use is when people take it and are using it, are reading it, and are telling other people about it. What if all the writings of, say, I don't know, Einstein or Benjamin Franklin had been hidden away and locked up somewhere? Where would we be today if nobody had access to any of those writings?
We wouldn't have known all the things that they discovered. And most especially that is true with the Word of God. If nobody's talking about the Word of God, if nobody is promoting the Word of God, if nobody is telling everybody else about this message of reconciliation that God has prepared for us, how can they use it? See, we are spokesmen for God. We are to proclaim His Word to the lost and dying world around us. Not only do we need to, as James instructs us in 1 James chapter 1 and verse 21, receive the implanted Word which is able to save our souls, but we need to take that Word, as Paul told Timothy, and preach it to others. Let other people know about it. I hesitate to use that word preach. That sounds too formal for folks. Even using the word teach sometimes is a little too formal. We need to make sure other people know about it. That's a part of God's chain, a part of God's plan. Remember the Apostle Paul said that God decided through the foolishness of preaching to proclaim His Word? Guess who's doing the preaching now? We are. Now, I'm well aware that if somebody picks up a Bible and starts reading from that Bible and studying that Bible, they can learn the plan of God. They can find out about the reconciliation that comes through Jesus Christ. And they can set themselves right and become a child of God and be pleasing in His sight. But it's much more likely they're going to pick it up if somebody else has told them about it. Much more likely that they might search out where this reconciliation is if somebody has said, hey, there's a way to get right with God, the Creator. That takes us to, I guess it's the fifth point, availability. It would do absolutely no good if this word that God had archived was hidden off and nobody knew anything about it. But He made it available. He made His Son the agent. He selected ambassadors who recorded the plan. And then He put it in a form and method by which it might be made available to all men. Not just in the writing down, but in instructing His ambassadors to go tell people about it. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He did what was necessary so that everyone could learn about it. In verse 19 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. The message that is to be spread throughout the entire world is God has provided a way by which you don't have to suffer under sin. He's given you a way by which your transgressions can be wiped away so that they don't count against you anymore. And He's told the world through Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. All of us that have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into His death, Paul told the Roman brethren in chapter 6. Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Reconciliation comes because of the sacrifice of Christ. The reconciliation is found in the body of Christ, in the church. It's not the church that reconciles, but the church contains those who have been reconciled. That connection is made to Christ, reconciled in through one body to God through the cross, by having put to death the enmity, Paul told the Ephesian brethren. Jesus, after Peter's great confession in Matthew chapter 16, said, upon that confession, upon the fact that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church. And Paul told the Colossian brethren, He's the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. That reconciliation is found in Christ, in the church, through obedience to the Word. And it's been available to everyone. We need to make sure that we're not hiding it inside the building. Let's don't be the one that limits the availability link in God's plan of salvation. Let's make sure we're still taking advantage of the opportunity to be able to talk to all men about God. That death and sacrifice were saved through baptism, added to the church. When we're baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. We're put into that one body, the church. But let's don't hide the Word there. It's to be available to all the world. One more point. There are advantages to this plan. And Paul talks about them here. In verse 21 of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We can literally, in God, through Christ, become righteousness. He made Christ to be sin as a substitute for us. Talked a little bit about the Passover lamb, and there are some comparisons there between that lamb and Christ. We don't want to carry it too far, but that lamb was a sacrifice for the Israelites. It died in their place. The Hebrew writer tells us it wasn't sufficient, and that's why we had Christ die in our place, but the imagery is there. It died so the Israelites didn't die for those sins. That scapegoat that they laid their hands on and confessed all the sins of the nation, and it was let go out in the wilderness. That scapegoat became the one that was blamed for that sin rather than the Israelites. It took the sin away from them, carried it outside the camp. Well, what happened to it after it got out there? Jesus died for us. And through his death, we can know the righteousness of God. Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. He died so that we might be made justified, innocent before God, come back into a reconciled relationship with God who created us. And we can look forward to being with God for all eternity. God's plan of salvation is a promise that he has given to man that will allow man to come back into a relationship with him. We recognize and understand that he is the author. It is his plan. He designed it. In fact, when I started doing this, I started to start with forge. He forged the chain. But I couldn't come up with enough F's to cover the rest of these things. He forged it. He put it in place. Jesus Christ carried it out. But let's not forget the responsibility that we have in this plan also. At least to some degree, those last three things are associated with us today. Now, in the days of the apostles, they were associated with them. But now they're on me and you. Because God's plan was designed for mankind to hear this plan from other men. One of the best examples I have ever seen, of course it's a good example, it came from Scripture, about the importance that man plays in other people's salvation is the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. the spirit that told Philip that he needed to go down and meet this guy on his way out of Jerusalem could have just as easily told that eunuch exactly what he needed to do to set things right. But he didn't. Because that wasn't God's plan. He sent Philip down there so that Philip could preach to him Jesus. And upon hearing Philip preach to him Jesus, the Ethiopian eunuch believed and obeyed and submitted himself to the will of God. Why? Because Philip taught him the plan of God. Another that comes to mind is the Apostle Paul himself, speaking to Christ. And Christ says, you go into Damascus, and somebody there in Damascus will tell you what to do. We're essential in making sure the human race knows the plan of God. Yes, I know there's millions of Bibles out there. Anybody can pick up one that's in every translation, every language that there is on the face of the earth, as far as I know. But we're still given the responsibility for proclaiming and to teach. We need to make sure we don't fail in fulfilling our part of God's plan. That's just as important as keeping ourselves away from sin, stopping ourselves from lying, assembling with the saints, singing praises to God, to make sure we spread the word of reconciliation. As always, when we come to the close of the service, we recognize that there are those who may have things in their life that are not as they ought to be. Sometimes it's struggles and difficulties and sorrows that are weighing down upon you, making it hard to consider and to do the work that you need to do. You need the prayers of brethren on your behalf so that you might overcome them. Sometimes it's sin. Sometimes it's a strange. Whatever the case is, even if you recognize there are things in your life that are amiss, you never will waste the gospel. Opportunity is yours to do that. You can be buried in that baptism and rise up to be in the body of Christ in obedience and submission to the will of the Lord. If you're willing to confess your belief in the Savior and turn from your ways, that baptism will wash your sins away. But if you've already done that and you recognize there are things in your life that are amiss, you can pray to God and ask Him to forgive. Maybe your sin is such that it needs to be dealt with publicly and the brother needs to pray for it. Or maybe it's a private sin that you really need the brother to help you overcome as well. Whatever the case, opportunity is yours. The invitation is offered. Come, always stand in the same.